Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But the Astros have a 65% chance of winning this game. There's a healthy chance there will be a game six.
I'm going to tell you.
The chance of the Astros losing this series outright is sitting around somewhere between about 15%.
Oh, did you look it up on FanGraphs?
Typically, when a team in the ALCS or NLCS has a 3-1 lead, there's a more than an 85% chance they're going to win it. Okay. But it's still, it's worth pointing out. 15% is not an astronomically low chance of losing.
It's not. Now, I would submit that how many of those 3-1 deficits, how many of those 3-1 deficits did the team that was trailing have to go through the top two Cy Young candidates in their league?
Right. When you look at the various matchups, a lot of times when a team is a lot of those instances when a team relinquishes a 3-1 lead, I think it's probably a lesser team that jumped out to a 3-1 lead. It's a team that got a little bit lucky the first couple of games. Yeah.
I would argue that no team, I would blindly say that no team coming back from 3-1 has had to go through two tougher pitchers to come back 3-1 on the same team than Verlander and Cole in 2019.
I'll tell you right now, I love FanGraphs. It seems like FanGraphs is always maybe a little bit more optimistic towards the Astros than some of the other advanced.
Okay, so can I try to guess the percentages? I haven't looked.
Yeah.
I'm going to say their percentages of winning this series right now are over 90%. I'm going to say 94%.
Yeah.
Chance of going to the World Series.
Their chance of, what does this mean? Win the LCS, 92%.
92. I overshot it a little bit.
So I used historical odds, and it would have been about a 15% chance. FanGraphs about an 8% chance of losing the series.
Yeah, because they're factoring in that it's Verlander and Cole pitching in games 5 and 7 of the series. Yeah. So that's what that is. What are their chances of winning the championship?
Gotta be 65%.
Yeah, I was gonna say 67%.
Now let me ask you this. So this is the time, and it has been this way since the whole series began.
You don't need FanGraphs. You have me as your co-host, baby.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you feel foolish now for having listened to Tim Kirchen say that Justin Verlander shouldn't pitch game 5?
Yes.
Before the game. You're right. Because now that you're here and you realize, wait a second, what was anybody thinking you should wait until? Because now it's in your hands. It's 3-1. Of course, you try to grasp it right this moment, which also, aside from winning the damn series, it also gives you a better chance of using Verlander more in the World Series because he gets one more day of rest if he can clinch it tonight.
I took notes throughout the game. I did a baseball version, not written like I do, and I post them on Twitter after a Texans game, but I did sort of on our rundown. I just took in-the-moment notes along the way, and one of the things I wrote at the end of the game was, now that we're in the moment, now that we've seen the Astros go up 3-1, Seth, now that we are knowing what exactly needs to take place for the Astros to move on to the World Series, now that we can really feel how behind the eight ball the Yankees are, not just that they're down 3-1, but they're down 3-1 having just gotten destroyed in game 4, and knowing that in some permutation you're going to have to see Verlander and Cole if you're going to come back in this series. Now that I am in the moment, because I was one of the ones proposing the Kirkjianian solution of maybe pushing Verlander and Cole to game 6 and 7 so you could have your cake and eat it too and maybe set things up for the World Series if you win game 5. Now that I'm in the moment, I'm with you. Justin Verlander, let's end this thing. Go get your nukes. Go get your nuclear weapon of Justin Verlander, put him on the mound in game 5, and let's get the hell out of this series. Let's win it in Yankee Stadium so we get oodles and oodles of sad fan cam. There's value in that to me.
Look.
You with me?
I don't want to be greedy here, but sweeping the Yankees. And it really doesn't have much to do with the Yankees fans, even though, harassing.
Some of them.
Harassing Zach Greinke about his social anxiety disorder, bringing up his family.
Right.
Seems like a Yankees fans. I've never heard so many reports of fans bringing up family members of players. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That feels a little. This is the problem. This is the problem with, frankly, less schoolyard flagpole fighting than there used to be. Some of these kids up there in New York just don't understand that because because now the anti-bullying is great and everything. But every now and then, you got to understand that the Weisenheimers needed to be set straight. Mm. But now the Weisenheimers, the true, genuine wiseassers, have never been set straight in their life. So they go above and beyond. They go past the... They don't understand what the difference between fair talking smack and not. But if they get swept in the if they get swept at home here, that would make up for a lot of that.
It sure would.
Yeah.
It sure would. AJ Hinch actually addressed the sign stealing allegations before the game last night. Of course, the Yankee fans, Yankee players, reportedly Yankee players jumping up and down in the dugout when they heard whistles that the Astros were stealing signs and conveying them to one another. Here's AJ Hinch on the allegations that the Astros have been stealing signs and whistling.
That us outside this competition. You know, when you guys ask me this question, my, you know, my face, my name is by my quotes, my opinions, my reaction is all for you guys to tweet out and put on the broadcast. But we have people that are unnamed. Or you guys have sources that are giving you information, I suggest they put their name by it if they're so passionate about it to comment about my team or my players. There's nothing going on other than the competition on the field, the fact that I had to field the question before a really, really cool game at Yankee Stadium is unfortunate, but we can put it to rest. It'll be the last question I answer about pitch tipping.
Now, it's interesting because the Yankees never made a formal complaint, as I understand it, yet Major League Baseball investigated it, and they've got observers in the dugout. They didn't see any evidence of this. It's not even clear that even if the Astros had been whistling or signaling, that would have been against the rules other than the unwritten rules, which even baseball insiders will tell you, I don't know what the unwritten rules are anymore, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's all such nonsense, and it's all so obviously and apparently excuse-making by a team that's about to be undone by their own excuse-making, by a team in the New York Yankees that just can't get the job done with runners in scoring. It's interesting that the Yankees were so good with runners in scoring position during the regular season. The Astros, obviously, we know what it's like to suffer through squandering runners in scoring
all
position.
All season long.
Yeah, I think the Yankees, they can't take a punch now because they haven't been doing it all season. Now they see guys left stranded, and they're like, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah, to your point, during the regular season, the Astros were first in all of the – in all of the offensive sort of metrics like slugging and on-base percentage and obviously then OPS because you're just adding those two together. But the Yankees were first in runs scored. The Astros were third in runs scored. They were first in all the you know the hitting metrics, the different percentages and things like that. But when you just come down to the what the raw goal of baseball is offensively, scoring runs, the Yankees were better at that during the regular season. It was funny, on my way in, I was listening to I went to SiriusXM and I was listening to the two guys, Taz and the Moose, that are on before us, because I wanted to bathe myself in the tears of New York.
Yeah,
and it was funny listening to the two of them complain about the Yankees in the postseason and their inability to hit with runners in scoring position. I felt like saying, you know, the only team that's in the same neighborhood as the Yankees being so poor hitting with runners in scoring position this postseason in this series, the damn Astros. Mm-hmm. They're right there. Both teams have been bad. The situational pitching in this series by both teams has by and large been pretty good.
Well, and this is where it drives you crazy that the Yankees are trying to make excuses before they've even lost the series by claiming that there's whistling that doesn't actually exist. And the biggest thing that annoys me, honestly, and this is driving me crazy, is that these old school baseball dudes aren't making a distinction between stealing signs electronically and pitchers tipping their pitches. Because there is zero wrong with figuring out that a pitcher is tipping pitches. And yet I hear people talk about the Astros getting their pitches tipped by glass now in the previous series and talking like the Astros did a bad thing. Carlos Correa had the money quote on this about tipping pitches, Jonesy. Let me hear Carlos.
When I listen to people talking about it in the business, I just laugh. I just laugh sometimes because, you know, they say that, oh, we had something or the pitchers were tipping when, you know, they had nothing sometimes. You know what I mean? We're just watching the game. We're taking advantage of every single detail we can get. Hitting is tough. If you're tipping your pitches, fix it. if you're tipping your pitch and I can see it, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm trying to help my team win ball games, and every single edge counts. But I think it's disrespectful to every time we score a lot of runs, people talk about tipping. Nobody was tipping today, and we scored, what, 8 runs? Like, we're great hitters. We've been doing it for a whole season. When you look at across the boards, the numbers this team has put up throughout a full season, it's just unbelievable how many guys have been on top of the game this year. And, you know, not every pitcher that goes out there for 162 tips.
That's well, as strong a take as you're going to get from Carlos Correa.
That's the money. That's where it all changed for me in Correa again. That's where I flipped back, and I'll be a hypocrite and a fraud. But look, I think the Correa's broken ribbon, the massage, is what did it for a lot of people. I feel like he wants some people back. He's exercised those demons with these home runs. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Two really crucial home runs in this
series. Right. And there's that. And then true, it's completely true. This notion that somehow people are acting like reading tipped pitches is scandalous. Do they understand there's a reason that pitchers hide their grip on the ball? There's a reason that pitchers worry about it. It's their job to not tip the pitches. When a pitcher tips pitches, it's his fault. There is no fault on the offensive team. There's no fault on the batter there. That is completely and totally and 100% the fault of the pitcher.
This is I'm going to make a football analogy that you as a former defensive lineman can relate to, and I feel like this is an equivalent situation, and nobody complains about it when it happens in football. When as a defensive lineman, you figured out the cadence. You figured out the snap count, and you're jumping, you're getting a jump on whoever's in front of you. That's the football equivalent to me of tipping your pitches when you're a quarterback and you're up there, and it's basically like you may as well be yelling to the defense, on two.
Right.
You got to fix that. And I think it's Carlos Correa is 100% correct.
Well, that's where it's interesting, because the study that you do between innings and whatnot, and teams that have good analytics staff, the analytics doesn't always boil down to some magical mathematical formula. In football, a lot of times, what the analytics staff is doing is actually just being more eyeballs on a team. Kubiak has a guy, I think it was two people in Denver, I don't know how many people it is in Minnesota, whose specific jobs is to self-scout and figure out what are we doing that could tip off the other team. So Kubiak's offense is all about making the run look like the pass, making the pass look like the run, making everything look similar to make it hard on the defense. So they have guys who specifically watch their own guys to figure out whether they're tipping or not.
Yeah.
So likewise with baseball, I would imagine a lot of what goes into the analytics is self-scouting, figuring out, okay, what could I pick up from our pitchers right now that somebody else might pick up?
Yeah, I would hope so. And Yankees, if you don't have a guy doing that, hire somebody.
Yeah.
And
maybe you're spending all this money on players themselves. How about you try to help them out a little bit?
That's right. You'd be a better baseball team. Payne and Pendergast, we're talking about the Astros beating the Yankees 8-3 last night. Justin Verlander trying to close things out tonight. Seth, I had the most poorly aged tweet of all time last night.
I saw that.
9:34 p.m., Carlos Correa is at the plate. I tweet, this is with two men on. I'm feeling a double play or a strikeout here. Anything else is a long shot. I hit send, and then the very next pitch he deposits in the left field bleachers. This tweet was obsoleted within 8 seconds Correa.
It's an anti-jinx. It was good. You need to start being more negative every time Carlos comes up to the plate.
Trust me, that's how I positioned it.
The problem is when it doesn't work out, then you're going to get blamed for actually making it happen.
Here are the replies. Welp. That was one of them. Welp. Yeah. Delete your account. Let's see. Wow, Sean. Very cool. A good call. Someone just replied, sup.
That's just good for being a hater.
Someone says, hurry, delete that. Someone, and of course, I had about a dozen people copying old takes exposed on there, too. Freezing cold takes. So
that's not going to make freezing cold takes.
No.
That's too timely and in the moment, it's not going to be.
Yeah. No. If it were something that I said about something that's going to happen 4 months from now. For example, if I said it's a lock that Gerrit Cole is going to re-sign here now that the Astros are going to be headed to another World Series, that would be CC'd alongside the tweet that he just signed with the Angels for 7 years, $300 million, something like that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.